Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanz in Washington, working on this program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, February 7, 2022. Sudanese authorities release an activist detained 2 weeks ago.
We presented a petition demanding that no one is supposed to be detained, and yet there are no charges against her. They cannot detain her and then begin to look for charges against her.
And the U.S. Embassy in South Sudan calls on the country's leaders to address the intercommunal violence in Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
We don't react to nonsense which are written in the social media. If the Americans have anything, then they should bring it to us officially, not to put it in the social media or whatever.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The African Union has concluded its 2-day summit. The theme for this year's meeting focused on strengthening nutrition, food security, health, and social protection systems. Leaders from across the continent who gathered Saturday in Ethiopia's capital Addis also discussed the COVID pandemic and security, as Gelmo Dawit reports for VOA from Addis Ababa.
The 35th African Union session began Saturday in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa. Though its theme implies building resilience in nutrition and self-reliance in food, COVID-19 and insecurity also topped the agenda as coups and political instability continue to affect residents across Africa. While addressing leaders of the continent, Mustafa Aki Mahamat, the chairperson of the African Union, said Africa is among the continents hit hard by the COVID-19. He also raised concern about unavailability of vaccines for most Africans. He asked the African leaders to support the African Centers for Disease Control. Chairperson Faki also shared his concern about deteriorating security in Africa. He said the AU has faced institutional failure because of coups and insurgencies. He called on regional blocs to closely work with the African Union and its member nations to abandon using their sovereignty as pretext. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is also among the leaders who addressed the summit. In his remark, Abiy emphasized the will of his administration to end the 16-month conflict with Tigrayan rebels.
As a gesture of goodwill, we have released high-profile suspects with a view of creating conducive environment for peace. Consistent with our commitment to peaceful resolution of conflict, we have recently launched an inclusive national dialogue platform with formal legislation. Our commitment to pursuing lasting and durable peace in our country shall remain steadfast.
Abiy asked leaders to echo his request for Africa to get permanent representation on the United Nations Security Council. Additionally, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres addressed the session via video conference. Guterres said Africa is being affected by climate change while contributing less than 3% of greenhouse gas emissions.
To address today's tragic reality, we need a radical boost in funding for adaptation and mitigation on the continent. The Glasgow commitment to double adaptation finance from $20 billion must be implemented.
Guterres noted he is working with the international community to meet Africa's climate change ambitions. He also called on African leaders to include youth in their administration and let citizens exercise their political and democratic rights. Participants of the 35th Extraordinary Summit of the African Union have named Senegalese leader Macky Sall as the new president of the AU. Gelmo Dawit for VOA News at African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
More than 20,000 Sudanese and South Sudanese forced by violence to flee refugee camps in northwestern Ethiopia are in desperate need of life-saving support. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
A camp hosting 10,300 Sudanese and South Sudanese refugees in Ethiopia's northwestern region of Benishangul Gumuz was looted and burned on January 18th. This after fighting broke out between unidentified armed groups and federal forces in the nearby town of Tongo. This alarming event followed the looting of another camp in the area in late December. A spokesman for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Boris Cheshikov, says the situation in this region has been very tense since violence first erupted in December.
A total of 22,000 people in both camps have been cut off from access and assistance since then. All humanitarian staff have had to evacuate, and access to the area, including to the two camps, remains impossible.
The Benishangul-Gumuz region borders Sudan and South Sudan. It hosts more than 70,000 refugees from these countries, as well as more than 500,000 Ethiopians internally displaced by intercommunal violence and conflict. Cheshikov reports that since violence erupted in December, more than 20,000 refugees have made the long, difficult trek to three different sites closer to Asosa, the regional capital. He says all have arrived exhausted and in need of assistance.
UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, and partners are rushing life-saving aid to more than 20,000 refugees. UNHCR is working with the Ethiopian Refugee and Returnees Service and partners to provide the most urgent assistance to displaced refugees, including hot meals, clean water, and medical care.
Cheshikov says regional authorities are setting up a new temporary site that can hold 20,000 people. He says UNHCR is working to install basic services, including shelter, water collection points, and latrines. It then will seek to relocate the refugees to the new site as soon as possible. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still in Sudan, Sudanese authorities have released human rights activist after detaining her for more than a week in Omdurman's women's prison without charges. The activist's lawyer says she was freed after authorities failed to charge her with an offense. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
Lawyer Kamal Al-Juzuli, who represents activist Amira Osman, confirmed that his client was released on bail on Sunday. Al-Juzuli says Osman's detention was illegal and the Sudanese authorities could not continue to hold her since she was not charged with any offense.
We presented a petition demanding that no one is supposed to be detained, and yet there are no charges against her. They cannot detain her and then begin to look for charges against her. So we demanded that she be released or be charged in a court of law.
The human rights activist was detained last month by a group of Sudanese armed men. Osman, who heads the Sudanese women's advocacy group No to Women Oppression Initiative, has been vocal in advocating for women's participation in leadership roles in Sudan during the rule of longtime President Omar al-Bashir, who the military ousted from power following the pro-democracy revolution. The initiative played a significant role in fighting laws and regulations that restricted the rights of women in Sudan, including the Public Order Act. Some Sudanese activists have condemned the detention of Osman, saying the act violates her rights to free speech. Al-Juzuli insists that Osman's personal rights had been violated by detaining her for 2 weeks without bringing any charges against her. Al-Juzuli believes that Osman was detained due to her political beliefs and civil rights activities.
I think she was detained because of her civil activities and they did not find any charge to be brought against her. And they were ashamed to accuse her for her civil participation in civil and political activities. They really tried to look for any charges, but they have failed to find one.
Osman was detained at the Omdurman Women's Prison. Some of her family members expressed concerns over her health condition, saying she is a person with special needs who needs special care, including her bed and her toilet. Al-Juzuli says Osman continued to take her medication in detention before being released yesterday.
She is healthy and we spoke with her on the phone and we have agreed to meet with her tomorrow. Due to the protest of today, we couldn't meet. I live far away from her and access to the office today is not possible because of the protest in downtown.
South Sudan in Focus reached out to Osman today for comment after her release. She said she was busy taking part in today's protest in Khartoum. Pro-democracy demonstrators have rejected the October 25th military takeover and have continued to stage protests demanding civilian rule in Sudan. The Central Committee for Sudanese Doctors says nearly 80 pro-democracy protesters were killed, prompting reactions from Sudanese judges who petitioned the military over excessive use of force on the protesters. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the U.S. Embassy in South Sudan is calling on authorities to address intercommunal violence in Jonglei and Greater Pibor administrative area. Stay tuned for that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Is wealth an important factor when making marriage decisions?
Wealth is not an important factor when making marriage decisions because most wealth is best acquired when you're together as a couple.
Of course, I think that any decision that involves another person, that's only fair to include wealth as an important thing. Like I can live on almost no money, but I couldn't expect my wife or my children to.
Not wealth, but security, financial security. Because if you're planning to have kids, then you need to provide for them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The U.S. government is calling on South Sudan's leaders to hold accountable politicians and military officers who are allegedly fueling violence in Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor administrative area. 32 people were killed and dozens of others injured when gunmen suspected of being from the Greater Pibor administrative area attacked by the Payam of Bor County last month. South Sudan's information minister says conflict between the two communities in Jonglei and Pibor has existed for a long time, and the government knows how to address it. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
In a statement seen by South Sudan in Focus, the U.S. Embassy in Juba says it is watching with deep concern the ongoing violence in Jonglei State, which it says is being fueled by a number of unnamed South Sudan government and military officials. The statement says, quote, "The United States is watching with deep concern the ongoing violence in Jonglei State and encourages all sides to seek resolution of their differences through peaceful dialogue," end quote. The U.S. called on the state and national leaders to condemn the brutality and said it is relying on the government of South Sudan to hold accountable those stoking the flames of violence, including government and military officials. South Sudan Information Minister and government spokesman Michael McQuay says the U.S. government should have presented their concerns officially to South Sudan government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs so that the ministry could look into the allegations.
We don't react to nonsense which are written in the social media. If the Americans have anything, then they should bring it to us officially, not to put it in the social media or whatever. They bring it to us, and then we will see what it is. We are not their schoolboys, so that we continue to respond to whatever they think.
McQuay says the conflict between communities in Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area has existed for a long time, and that the South Sudan government doesn't need foreign intervention to resolve the problem.
This conflict of Jonglei had ever been there. Between Jonglei and Pibor had ever been there, ever since. And it is not the Americans who would come and resolve it for us.
Cattle raids, child abductions, and revenge killings are a common occurrence in Jonglei and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, despite many community-led goodwill agreements signed by communities in the two areas to end the violence in recent years. In 2019, President Salva Kiir approved a plan to intensify joint police patrols along the borders of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area and Jonglei State to contain cattle raids and child abductions. Under the plan, a police force of 2,500 young men and women from different ethnic communities would undergo thorough training and work to eradicate organized crime and maintain law and order between the Pibor area and neighboring Jonglei State. President Kiir instructed the National Police Service to make arrangements for the training and deployment of the new recruits in the border area of Gadiang, but the plan has yet to materialize. The president said in January 2021 that he would no longer intervene should communities in Jonglei and Greater Pibor engage in fighting. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor, Jonglei State.
The Kenyan government has launched security operations to flush out bandits in the country's Rift Valley counties. The operations come at a time when people are fleeing their homes for safety. This, as Kenya's Interior Ministry has ordered the arrest of political leaders who are allegedly accused of funding robberies in the counties of Baringo, West Pokot, and Elgeyo Marakwet. However, security experts say government tactics to end the attacks have not been successful and the government may not win the war against the criminals. Maureen Odhiambo reports from Sacramento, California.
The Kenyan government over the weekend launched a manhunt to drive out bandits threatening communities along the borders of Baringo, West Pokot, and Elgeyo Marakwet counties. Kenya's Interior Ministry says security team have begun a sustained 14-day exercise to evict invaders and return to normalcy in the affected areas. Interior Cabinet Secretary Fred Matiang'i says a multi-agency team has been deployed in the area. They are helping to beef up security, especially in schools, by recruiting police reservists and members of the paramilitary wing of the police, the General Service Unit.
We are going to operationalize all the administrative areas in Baringo North and Baringo South that had not been operationalized, the locations, the sub-locations, so that we man all those areas of administration. We have doubled our security deployment in this region. Already on the border of Elgeyo Marakwet and West Pokot, we have brought in 5 platoons of our special GSU teams. We have again agreed on renewed redeployment in areas of Baringo North and Baringo South.
The security team has recommended that political leaders funding the bandits be arrested. The arrests would also be extended to cultural leaders who perform rituals blessing the thieves and their criminal activities. Security expert George Msamali says the government's approach to restore peace in the area may not bear fruits, as they have used the same approach before without success.
We've been having this situation since independence, 1963 to date, and the government has always been giving a knee-jerk reaction. Every time we have banditry attacks in the area, you'll find that the government will come up with these ultimatums. They'll organize these security operations in the area. We'll take the army there. We've seen arrests of leaders, and the government has always come up saying that these are the people that are inciting the locals to take up arms and attack their neighbors. And I believe this is not the solution to the problem that we're having in that area. We have proliferation of small arms from the neighboring countries.
Last week, East African Legislative Assembly member Florence Jematia was arrested and charged in court following controversial remarks she made in Baringo. It's on record Jematia allegedly asked residents of Mochongoe, one of the troubled areas in Baringo South constituency, to raise funds to buy firearms while accusing the Kenyan government of laxity in dealing with insecurity in the region. Msamali says banditry in the area is now a business where animals are stolen and sold to the third parties.
What is happening in Rift Valley, especially in the Marakwet area and Pokot and Turkana, is something to do with what has turned to be an economic activity. It's no longer banditry that is targeting the people, but I think the main target here is cattle rustling, where the animals are stolen and then they're sold off to third parties. But if you look at the government, we've been using tactics, not strategy. And if we have to win this war against banditry and cattle rustling in those areas, then we have to change and start using strategy.
So far, more than 30 people have been killed in the area and scores injured in the past 2 months. Thousands of people in the region have fled their homes after a series of raids by armed bandits that has left behind a trail of death and livestock losses. Efforts by the government to disarm residents and hold security meetings with leaders have not been successful, as the robbers continue to raid homes. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go in and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now end the show with Kennedy singing in his native Kakwa language about marriage. We have been listening to Kennedy and his song about marriage. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Se podía ir. Y lo nacaje, nacaje, la río. La río.
mata mata. Huh? Mata poki bosa kasi lepe. Hey! Ati don, ati don.